I have a little quiz for us this morning to get us start us off. I want to know what all of these people throughout history have in common. There's something that they all share. The Rosenbergs, Donna Marina, Efoltes of Trachis, now is when you're going to probably start to get it, Benedict Arnold, Brutus, and Judas. They're all traitors or betrayers, are they not, right? All of those individuals are notorious throughout history for betraying those that they should have loved, whether that was their country or whether that was their friend. Yet for every nationally known betrayal, countless of betrayals occur in homes, in workplaces, in schools, in clubs, in societies, in organizations. And when it comes to betrayal, even the most treacherous of betrayal, are God's people exempt from that? The answer is no, right? God's people are not exempt from being betrayed. Psalm 55 was written for God's people when they are betrayed. And it reminds them that God is faithful even when others are not. It's a promise. It's a promise that God will sustain his people if they cast that burden, if they cast that betrayal upon him. And that's the big idea of Psalm 55. Psalm 55 reminds you that God is faithful to sustain you when you've been betrayed by even the closest of friends. Psalm 55 will likely hit pretty close to home to some of you because you've experienced betrayal in your life. Betrayal by a very close companion, by a very close friend. And my goal as we go through this sermon, and I'm going to use some hard illustrations and apply some truths here, is not really, I don't want this to be drudging up the past, okay? But rather, I want to provide biblical guidance both to you who have been bitterly betrayed or treacherously betrayed, but I want to give some direction for when that time comes. Because the likelihood of betrayal on this earth and in your life is pretty great. And Psalm 55 gives us God's path, God's way of pleasing him in the moment and in the moments after we are betrayed. The fact of the matter is, when we are betrayed, our emotions can get the best of us. Our emotions can take control of our actions. Therefore, it is best that we arm ourselves with God's truth, not so that we can suppress our emotions, right? Not so that we can suppress our emotions, but rather that so that we might direct them to the one who can sustain us rightly through some of the most emotional times that we might have in this life. And so I trust that you found Psalm 55 in your Bibles. And as I read Psalm 55, I want you to listen for the emotion that David has as he writes this. But I also want you to listen for what hope and what confidence David has in God's faithfulness. So if you're able, would you stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word? And I'm going to read the entire Psalm 55, and I'm going to read pretty fast, so I trust that you will follow along fast as well, listening again for that emotion and for that hope that David has. He writes this, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of my enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horrors overwhelm me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find shelter from the raging wind and the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls, and the iniquity and the trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not but depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house when we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is in their dwelling place and in their hearts. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and my moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old, because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friend. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these psalms that teach us how to direct our emotions in times when we are so emotional and so easily overcome by our emotions. Lord, as we examine this psalm, I pray that the truth that is within it and that you've inspired within it would impact our hearts. Certainly, this is not an everyday psalm, but it is a psalm that we must rush to and run to in times of bitter and treacherous betrayal. And so, Father, I pray this morning if somebody has been betrayed recently or is struggling with the betrayal of their past, that they would find hope and help in your faithfulness to sustain them through the burden that they are carrying. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God inspires the Psalms to be written to remind us of God's faithfulness because our emotions are always changing. Our circumstances are always changing. They teach us to rest in God through the good, the bad, and the ugly of living in a sin-cursed world. And Psalm 55 reminds us that God is faithful even when our closest friends are not. David had not experienced betrayal once or twice, but David experienced betrayal on many occasions throughout his life. And for that reason, the setting or the circumstances of Psalm 55 have been scrutinized throughout history without really any firm conclusion. This could have been when Ahithophel, his close advisor, abdicated him and went with Absalom, his son, when Absalom stole the kingdom from him. This could also be David's response to Saul's bitter betrayal on several different occasions, or any other number of times that David had been betrayed. I tend to read this in light of Saul, but regardless of when exactly David wrote this, it's written for a time when faithful people are met by unfaithfulness from other people. And the words that I've already used, but probably the words to best describe the circumstances, is a bitter or a treacherous betrayal. If you notice verse number 12, David laments, "For this is not an enemy who taunts me, I could bear it. It's not an adversary who deals insolently, I could hide, but it's one of his close friends. It's a close companion. It's somebody," verses 20 and 21, "who broke a covenant with him, who deceived him with his words, who sought David's demise despite the fact that he thought this individual was before him. And David is hurt. Did you hear the hurt in David? Did you hear the harm that David feels? Did you get a sense of the emotion with which David is speaking of? And if you've ever been betrayed by a friend, you probably can resonate with what David has said. Because being betrayed, whether that was right before you came into church or whether that was 50 years ago, it hurts. It hurts a lot. And it's an extremely terrible, hurtful, harmful, mind-consuming thing. And so David, under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, takes that betrayal that he experienced in his life, and now he seeks to teach us from that. And the first thing that where he begins here is that David immediately, we see, cries out for help from God. Christian, when you are betrayed, start by crying out for God's help through the circumstances rather than listening to the noise. Rather than listening to all of the noise. Listen, David needed help in the moment of betrayal, and you will too. and I will too. This emotional plea is described by David as he says, I've been moaning and complaining, not just once, but multiple times here. There's great anguish, he says, within him. There's great terror and horrors without, and there's this raging storm, this anguish and turmoil within. In fact, David admits that it's so bad, what does he want to do? He says, I wish I was a dove, that I had wings, that I could fly far, far away, that I could just completely remove myself from the noise, from the fear, from the trouble, from the grudge. And David poetically uses this imagery just to say, God, help me. Help me get away from this. Help me to feel secure. Help this emotional and this relational distress that I'm going through. And again, if you've ever been betrayed by a close family member, a friend, or even a spouse, you may have said, God, I just wish that I could fly far, far away. I just wish that I could completely get away from, David calls, the noise. The noise. You know the noise. And in verse 3, the weight that David bears, he says, the oppression that he feels comes from the noise, and the noise here refers to the words of the betrayer. It refers to their swaying of public opinion against him, the creating of division, and the prompting of people to side against him and with his betrayer. I think one of the hardest circumstances that Psalm 55 would fit into would be a place within a grave marriage that's headed for divorce or through that divorce proceedings, where the worst of a person is exaggerated and made to sound normal. Sides are really drawn not based upon what is, but rather on what's perceived. And it's not based upon what's right or wrong, but rather what's beneficial to the side that you've taken. The need to sway public opinion and discourse demands hostility, it demands deceit, it demands lying and slandering, and you take extreme actions so that you can get extreme reactions so that you can build a case and find condemning responses. Now, Lord willing, you will never have to go through such a betrayal as the betrayal of a spouse. But should you? You need Psalm 55. You need to ask God for help. You need to ask God, God, I need you to shut the noise out. And I need your word in my life. I need to go to this to find help. And I have to refuse to ask the question, well, what did they say about me yesterday? Or what did they say about me today? Spend your time moaning and complaining to God, not moaning and complaining to others. David rightly notes, he goes, God, I'm moaning to you. I'm complaining to you. Why does David moan and complain to God? Why does David go to God for help? And the reason is really simple, because God is the only one who can help. God is the one who can truly step into that circumstance and assist David through it. And even if the circumstances don't change, David knows God can get him through the circumstances. Now, I think we have to be careful when we come to Psalms like this and when we see David. I think there's a tendency to automatically assume that I'm David in the Psalm, okay? That I'm completely innocent in a situation where there is betrayal. That I am faultless here. And let me encourage you. If you've gone through betrayal, are going through betrayal, or when you go through betrayal, don't assume your innocence, okay? Search your heart. Search your heart to see if there's any sin in your heart, any wickedness in your heart, any betrayal in your own heart, any way that you didn't fulfill your responsibility, your covenant, your word. Because you have this amazing and awesome promise that if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you. And you have this amazing promise that if you go to a person and you seek their forgiveness and repentance, even though they might not forgive you, you've done right and righteous. Now, David believes he is right here. David is blindsided by this betrayal. And David rests and trusts in God for God's help. And I find something extremely encouraging throughout this passage, and it's this. God wants to hear your complaints. God wants to hear your moaning. Did you hear that? Okay? God wants to hear your complaints. God wants to hear your moanings. Okay? It's not wrong to complain to God. It's not wrong to moan and bemoan your circumstances to God. But here's the caveat. As long as you're trusting Him for the outcome. And when you bemoan Him, and when you complain to Him, and you say, God, these are my circumstances, this is the hurt that I'm feeling, this is the harm that I'm being received, make sure that you're also going, I'm trusting You through it. You see, David is not moaning and complaining to try to manipulate God to get his way. Rather, he's moaning and complaining because he knows that God's really the only one who can help him in this circumstance and in the situation. And I love the Psalms because they are so raw. They are so emotional. They affirm that the emotions that we feel and that we have throughout life in various circumstances, those are not the bad things. Rather, those are indicators in our life. They're indicators that we long for God's righteousness, and they're indicators of the depraved nature that we wrestle within us. But nowhere in here do we find that David is rebuked for the emotions that he has. He's not condemned for them. Why? Because he's directed them to the proper place and to the proper one. The one who can truly help. So when you are betrayed, moan and complain and express yourself to God while at the same time refraining from listening to that noise, because God can help. And God is truly the only one who can vindicate. And in the following verses, David goes on and he asks God to vindicate him on his behalf. So when you are betrayed, you should be crying out for God's vindication. You should be crying out for God's vindication, not plotting revenge. David continues to cry out. In verse 9, he cries out and he talks about God destroying and dividing their tongues. Right? The noise that he's heard, that he wants to get rid of, he knows it's not true. And so he says, God, I'm gonna let You take care of that. I'm going to let You take care of the slander. I'm going to let You take care of the gossip. I'm going to let You take care of what's being said behind my back. But he also sees how that slander is impacting not just him and the betrayer, but he talks about how it's betraying an entire city. Now, if this is Saul, it's in Gibeah. If it's Ahithophel, it's in Jerusalem. If it's others, there are other cities and points. But David's point here is that this betrayal is not just affecting him, it's affecting everybody. Innocent people are being oppressed. Innocent people are being defrauded. Innocent people are now being dragged into the evil and the wickedness of this betrayer. And again, the worst part about it is that this isn't David's enemy. This is David's friend. This isn't David's adversary. This is his companion. And as I mentioned, within these verses, we find the deep betrayal that he senses. He even talks about in verse 14 how we used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng. Once sweet fellowship, not just man to man, but sweet fellowship that he had with, in a spiritual sense, as they worshiped the Lord together, has now been severed. And so he says in verse 15, let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive, for evil is their dwelling place and in their heart. And verse 15 might be hard for us to understand, but it is completely compliant and in line with the old covenant. And it fulfills that terms of the Old Covenant, but it's also the precedent of the Old Covenant. Because the verse here sums up the condemnation that Dathan and Abiram had when they rebelled against Moses in the wilderness. And you'll remember, they rebelled against Moses and they brought a clan and they said that Moses wasn't worthy of leadership. And what did God do? Well, He literally opened the earth in Sheol and swallowed them alive, taking them to the grave. And David looks back at that point, and in a poetic way, he says, God, it was very clear that you did that then. It's very clear that I believe that you can do that now, or that you can at least very publicly vindicate me in front of my nation. I'm trusting you to do that. Now, the question that we have to, or the thing we need to consider here is, could David ever do that? Could David ever say, ground be open up, and in David's own power, all of a sudden his adversaries fall through? The answer is no, right? So David's asking for something that only God can do. David's not taking matters into his own hands. David's not plotting to create some, you know, sinkholes or some trap so, you know, like they step into it and they fall into a pit and blah, 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 blah. This is not what David's saying, God, I want you to take care of it. This is how you've done it in the past. And because you've taken care of it in the past with your people, I trust that you can take care of it. Now, let me tell you, you can take great comfort that because God has dealt with betrayal in the past within his people, God can deal with your betrayal as well. Okay? You're not the first one to be betrayed. And God can give you confidence in his words to say, at the right time, in the right moment, I will righteously and justly deal with this one way or another. But David also sees the need for vindication because the evil is also impacting others. The evil that's directed at him, should it go unchecked, was not only affecting the city, but he believes would ultimately spread throughout the nation and consume the nation. And so what David does is he lays out the offense before God, he moans, he cries, and he says, God, vindicate me, show everybody that I am right and that my betrayer is the betrayer, but I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you do it. And I believe that for you and for I, we are compelled in these moments to cry out to God, to say, God, you clear my name. You clear my name, however you would. I'm not going to plot revenge. I'm not going to get back at them. I'm going to let you take it. Last week we saw this thread throughout Scripture that our call is not to return evil for evil. We saw it in Deuteronomy 32, in Leviticus 19. You move forward to the prophets, you find it in Isaiah 1, Jeremiah 5, Nahum 1, and many other passages. But probably the most direct New Testament passage we have is Romans chapter 12, where he says, Beloved, never avenge yourself. Leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And I understand that there are going to be times when we might feel uncomfortable with David's lament, or Jeremiah's, or Job's, or Isaiah's, or Ezekiel's, or Paul's, or John's, or even Jesus's. But the fact of the matter is, they exist within Scripture because when you've been betrayed so bitterly and so deeply, you need a place to take that betrayal. And they teach us, and they teach God's people of every generation to transfer the wrath and the anger that they feel for that injustice. And they give that over to God and they put it on God's plate because they can be assured that God is the only one who will always deal with it righteously and justly. I don't know about you, but my emotions are always changing and I can't trust my emotions. My emotions are always subjective and they're easily swayed. My complaints and my moaning that I have, boy, they are very selfish and self-oriented and self-promoting. But when I give those to God, even when they are changing, even when they are subjective, even when they are swayed, even when they are selfish, I can rest in the fact that God doesn't change. I can rest in the fact that God always sees the whole picture, not just what I perceive to be taking place. I can rest in the fact that God can only act righteously and justly in whatever he does. So that means when your business partner or a co-manager or a fellow worker or somebody that you've worked hand in hand with for years and years and you've developed goods and services, you've come up with procedures that produce unequaled outcomes. When the business of your business is expanding and then all of a sudden you are betrayed, you're stabbed in the back, you're literally thrown out the front door, and worse yet, those whom you care for, those whom you worked with, and those who work under you and have worked for you are engrossed in this betrayal, and that once productive and efficient business is now oppressive and repulsive, and people are losing their jobs and losing their bonuses all because of this betrayal, and they're getting swept up in all of this wickedness that and that once ethical great place that everybody longed to go to throughout the day is now a hornet's nest of evil. You can go to Psalm 55 and you can cry out and you can say, God, vindicate me. I don't need to get revenge here. Vindicate me. And I trust that you are the only one who can ensure justice for every single person that's involved here, myself included. And that justice and that righteousness might be reconciliation. It might be repentance and forgiveness and restitution, just like we've talked about from Psalm 51. Or it might be judgment. But God, I'm giving that up to you. I'm letting you take care of that. I think it's interesting, as David lived specifically within the nation of Israel, you know, he had a lot of enemies within his own people, within his own tribe, within his own nation, right? A lot of enemies that sought to kill him. And every time that happened, David never raised his hand against them. He was always slow. He was always letting God take care of it. And even when that enemy, even when Saul died, what does David do? He weeps instead of rejoices. He's even rebuked for that. Because David understands that if I give this to God, I don't have to take, return evil for it. I can trust God, but boy, oh boy, do I really pray that they would come to redemption through reconciliation rather than experience judgment. And so David concludes this psalm by crying out to God, and he pleads with God to sustain him through the betrayal and to help him not stoop to the level of his friend. Christian, when you are betrayed, you should be crying out to God to sustain you rather than stooping to betray the other. Verse 16 begins with a contrast. He says, but, and this contrast is in contrast to the words of his accuser, of his betrayer. He says, but I call to God. You see, David is going to use his words to call upon God. Why? So that he can be redeemed. He can be saved, not in a spiritual sense, but in a circumstantial sense, in a sense where he would be redeemed from this bad situation, that God would make the bad situation good, even if that meant more bad coming down the line. And David refuses here to stoop to the level of his accuser or his betrayer, right? David's famous words, how can I raise my hand against the Lord's anointed? He says, I can't. I'm going to refuse to return evil with evil, and I'm going to choose to seek the good that only God can produce when evil occurs. And we call that redemption. Verse 18, he says here, he, that's God, redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. And that battle that he's talking about is not physical. Rather, it's an emotional aspect. Verse 17, evening and morning and noon, I'm complaining, I'm moaning, and he hears my voice. And he says, all of that moaning, all of that complaining is going to be redeemed. It's going to be made good. And I might not see it today, I might not see it tomorrow, but in the end, God is going to make that good. And so he sets his mind, he sets his desires, he sets his affections, which are all warring against one another. And he says, God, I'm giving that to you. And I trust you, I trust your promises, I trust you to redeem and to restore and to save and to sustain. Verses 20 through 21 continue to speak of just the treachery that he feels. He talks about his companion, his friend, his covenant, his speech smooth as butter, his words softer than oil. All of that just so that he could betray him. And then we come to verse 22, which is really considered the key verse of Psalm 55. It's this the summary of what David learned through this betrayal. And now he wants to teach you and me what he learned. And he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Now, the idea of cast here is not like, it's to throw and let go. It's to throw and let go. And the language here in the Hebrew continues an ongoing, continuous action. In fact, that makes sense because David has just said, I'm complaining to you in the morning and in the evening and at noon as well. And David says, I am casting my burden on you continually. And there are times in our life when we try to let go of something, but you just can't. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life? You've tried and you say, I got to let go of this and I just can't. There are times in life when you trust and you let go of something and it's gone. And then before you know it, guess what? It comes back. And all of those emotions that you thought were gone are now, they're all flooding you. Whether you cannot let go or whether it floods back, continue to cast that burden on the Lord. Continue to moan. If it's in the morning, David says, I moan and I complain in the morning. If it's in the evening, David says, I moan and I complain in the evening. If it's at noon, I moan and I complain at noon. And if it's in the middle of the night, I moan and I complain in the middle of the night. But I do that to the Lord. Keep crying out. Keep continuing to cry out. God wants your burden. When it consumes you, cry out to the Lord. When the noise is overpowering, cry out to the Lord. When its evils and impressions are right in front of you and afflicting you and affecting you, when they're afflicting your loved ones and those you care about, cry out to the Lord. When you want to plot revenge, cast your burden on the Lord. When you want to stoop to the wickedness through which they've directed at you, cast your burden on the Lord. When bitterness arises in your heart, cry out to the Lord. Just keep giving that hurt to God. Over and over and over. Complain and moan to the Lord because God can handle it. Okay? There's nothing that you're going through or you will ever go through that God can't handle. And what David goes on and he says here, and the way that he wants you to handle it is he will never permit the righteous to be moved. And you really need to understand what this is saying. Okay, this is not a promise to make all things as they were. That's not what David promises. What David promises is that if you cast your burden on the Lord, if you trust the Lord, you rest in Him, you cry out to Him, you moan and you complain to Him, and you give it over to Him, and then you have to give it over to Him again and again and again, and even a million times you have to give it over to Him. As long as you are giving it over to Him, you remain righteous in His sight. That's what he talks about. He's talking about sustaining you in a right relationship, a right fellowship with Him through the betrayal. And when God sustains you, He will never sustain you in such a way to move you from that righteous position or posture before Him. Again, if you look throughout Scripture, whether you look at the life of David or Jeremiah or Job or Paul or Peter or a multitude of saints throughout history, as they are betrayed, as they are given over to their adversary, if they sought the Lord to sustain them, they remained righteous even unto death. And believer, you have this amazing promise that God will help you through every burden. If you cast it on Him. And if that means you are casting every hour, that means every hour you cast it. If that means every minute, that means every minute. If that means something floods back from 25 years ago, you take that and you throw that back to God. Remember what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Remember, Peter is writing to an oppressed and a betrayed people there. He says, casting all your anxiety on Him, because why? Why? He cares for you. In other words, God cares enough about you that He wants to hear your complaining and your moaning. So that means when a lifelong friend or a close family member slanders you and begins a destructive rumor, and that message is believed and it's acted upon, and now friends groups are splitting up and splintering, give that to God. Don't take matters into your own hands. Kids and youth, when you've made a friend and you've shared fun and good experiences in school or in sports or at camp or just in life, and before you know it, oh, they've betrayed you, they've stabbed you in your back, and now that circle of friends is crumbling. Don't get even. Go to God. Refuse to return evil. How could David do that, though? It's because David believed that God is faithful. David believed that he could totally trust God, that God would sustain him and keep those who trust in him in his righteousness. God is faithful to rightly and justly deal with wickedness. That's the point of verse 23. And as David concludes, he talks about how God would be the one who would destroy the wicked, and how God would be the one in whom he trusted. Because those who live by betrayal and treachery die by betrayal and treachery. And David said, I'm going to trust you. Trusting God, by the way, as I mentioned last week, is most clearly evident not when things are going good, not when your relationships are at peace, not when your bank account is plush and good, not when everything at work is peachy and productive. Real trust in God, real resting in God, is found when there's chaos and conflict in your life. When you don't know how you're going to make it to the next day. When you don't know if you have a friend in the world. And you say, God, I choose to trust you. And there may be times in life when you are terribly and horrendously betrayed by even some of the closest friends and companion. And I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. I hope you haven't heard that. I'm not diminishing the hurt. I hope you haven't perceived that. I'm saying it's real and it's hurt and it's hard. But when it occurs, God has a plan for you. And that plan is to run and to cast that burden on him and to cry out for his help, to cry out for his vindication, and to cry out and ask him to sustain you through it so that you might be righteous in his sight. Trust God, because God is faithful to sustain you through any betrayal, even by the closest friend. Would you stand with me as I pray?